Send your photo apps down, iPhone photographers. It's time for Tiny Shutter Podcast with your hosts, Keith Tharp, Mark Sadowski, and Matt Hoffman.
Welcome back, iPhone photographers. This is the Tiny Shutter Podcast, all iPhone photography, all the time. I am Keith Tharp.
I'm Mark Sadowski.
And I'm Matt Hoffman.
Let's jump right into the news today, folks. And today we're going to start off with two items filed under WTF, not again news. I'm going to start off down in New Haven, Connecticut. It's actually down in New Haven, Connecticut for me. It might be up for you. But anyway, Jennifer Gondola was leaving a New Haven nightclub called Pulse when she joined a group of onlookers filming an arrest. Shortly after, she was approached by an officer and demanding her iPhone, stating that it was now evidence. Gondola refused to hand over her iPhone, stating that it was her civil right to film the arrest and that it was not evidence of the suspect committing a crime, but it was evidence of police doing a crime. So instead of handing over the phone, she put it in her bra. Now, I'd like to break in the story right here to ponder the fact, or wonder rather, if she was using the Joey bra that we mentioned here on Tiny Shutter a few months back.
That'd be awesome.
An important detail just omitted from this story.
It's not there. I couldn't find any details on whether or not she was using the Joey bra. Anyway, so moving on. After placing the phone in her bra, her arms were, in her words, yanked behind her and cuffed. It's worth noting that New Haven police have a policy regarding filming, and it seems very identical to most other police organizations, and it states, Police General Order 311 says, It is the policy of the New Haven Department of Police Service to permit video recording of police activity as long as such recording does not interfere with ongoing police activity or jeopardize the safety of the general public or the police. So I just wanted to keep this kind of alive in people's kind of thoughts, in that the fact that I personally think that it's an issue that people are, you know, in the act of recording things like this, are being perceived as a threat to police officers by police officers, and I love police officers, but it concerns me that we are moving to a state where, or towards a state where, people can't photograph or film what police officers are doing in at all, period. So
yeah,
I just wanted to keep it out there.
Well done.
Our second item in WTF not again news: Phil Mickelson has joined other PGA pros, including Tiger Woods, in voicing his frustration over cell phone cameras being allowed at PGA Tour events. According to USA Today, Mickelson went so far as to text message the PGA commissioner, Tim Frenchman, expressing his displeasure. The article I'll link to in the show notes goes on to quote fellow players paired with Mickelson describing the large crowd, noise, and Mickelson's trouble with blocking it all out. Mickelson shot an opening round of 79 before withdrawing from the tournament.
Well, the problem is that people can change the sound of their shutter. For example, my new shutter sound is this.
I have a customized shutter sound, too, specifically for golf events, and it goes like this. It goes, choke, choke.
You know, back when we first talked about Tiger Woods and his issues with it, I was kind of on the side of the golfers, saying, you know what, we all know that how golfers feel about quiet while they're in their backswing and whatnot, so why not just turn it to silent? But now I'm kind of, you know, and you know, I've golfed before, okay? I'm no PGA Tour professional, so I could be being a bit arrogant here, but for Christ's sakes, I just watched the NBA Finals with the Celtics against the Heat, and I see Paul Pierce on the free throw line. Now, tell me he doesn't need focus to throw that ball up into that little hoop, however many feet away it is, right? And meanwhile, you have hundreds and hundreds of Heat fans behind the glass backboard with those stupid plastic three-foot things, waving them around like crazy, bonking them against each other, screaming, all holy hell, and he shoots it up and sinks the basket. Okay,
yeah.
You know, and so I've really kind of got to sit here and draw the line and say, okay, you're gonna sit there and tell me that your focus as an athlete isn't so much that you can't cancel out the sound of an electronic shutter.
I think you've gone too far calling him an athlete.
Oh.
Let's not throw names now.
All right, moving on once again. In nothing to do with iPhone photography news, Tim Cook took the stage yesterday around 10 a.m. in Cupertino time for the keynote to kick off WWDC. You know, this kind of brings to a head all of our iPhone 5 rumors and everything. We were kind of hoping that this would kind of give us a little bit of insight as to what was coming or what was on the forefront. And as far as photography goes, nothing happened yesterday during the keynote. Actually, zero. However, iOS 6 beta did get launched yesterday for developers, along with the SDK to go into helping them design for the new iOS. And I am going to touch on a few things regarding that. So I have the iOS 6 beta on my phone now, and as far as what you can see or what I can tell you about the difference is nothing. The only difference in the camera as of right now is the fact that the UI is a different color. The camera has gone from that light gray color to a dark gray color, and that's it. But in the notes for the SDK, Apple mentions this. Use powerful features from the built-in camera. New APIs let you control focus, exposure, and region of interest. You can also access and display faces with face detection APIs and leverage hardware-enabled video stabilization. So,
what does that translate into?
Not a long list of excitable things other than let you control focus, exposure, and region of interest. So I'm wondering if that little tidbit right there where they say that we're going to be able to control exposure is going to give developers more control over exposure, meaning will we be able to actually say a shutter speed of 1 second or a shutter speed of 2 seconds and ISO of this and this so that we can have that much more creative control over the exposure. That's the exciting part. You know, a couple of weeks ago we talked about the region of interest. That was a rumor back then because Apple had gone for a patent regarding it. That's showing up here. Nothing here or anything that I've heard about to this point has mentioned or alluded further to the 3D camera that was rumored, you know, pretty heavily about 6-8 weeks ago.
And there's nothing in there that talks about display size either, right?
I haven't dug into the SDK. This is just the kind of, you know, feature notes. And I won't be digging into it. I'm not a developer. I don't even play one on TV, so I just happen to have spent the $99 to become a developer back when I thought I would develop my own app. And then six weeks later I decided that was a bad idea.
Well, the only thing that's remotely photography related is the sharing of photos through the photo stream. And that looks interesting because from what I understand, is that they're going to allow you to share in a various amount of ways. So you through the phone, through websites, through multiple channels. And I don't think you need to be an iPhone user or
not an iOS user either. It's gonna allow for a interaction with people that aren't on the platform to comment and be able to view your images.
And the layout with the photo stream, with the ability to make comments, looks pretty sharp. I mean, but I'm just going by what I saw on the Apple website.
Right. All right, moving on. In numbers news, Camera Plus announced that they have exceeded 8 million copies sold in 2 years, and that over that two-year span, they turned down offers from both Google and Twitter. And
That's pretty amazing. I'm glad to hear like great success stories like that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm curious as to what kind of reasoning and what dollar signs and I would cause you to turn down an offer from Google or Twitter. I mean, unless it wasn't impressive enough for you to jump at it. But
well, it's important to note that there. I mean, yes, the app costs 99 cents. It's still 99 cents, right?
I believe so. Yeah.
But they also have in-app purchases, which I'm supposing it makes a pretty decent amount of money.
Sure.
And they're not overly expensive, the in-app purchases.
Right.
It's been a while since I bought those filters, so I
can't
really
recall.
So they're
making a decent amount of money.
Yeah.
Is what you're
I would imagine
at.
So.
Yeah. And I mean, obviously, right. And obviously, Google didn't, you take 30% off of that for Apple.
Right.
And obviously, Google didn't offer them $1 billion, otherwise, we would have heard about it.
Yes. But it kind of makes you wonder what the offer was and what they have in store further down the line that would allow them to turn it down.
The founder of the company that makes Camera Plus is saying that in the not too distant future, there's going to be an update to Camera Plus, which is going to, quote, make many of you very happy.
Ooh.
And the app update has a code name, Darkroom. So it'll be pretty interesting to see what that's going to be all about.
You know what? That is interesting. And since you brought it up, I'm going to segue into something that I didn't write down, but was in some of my rumors news, is that we are looking at a possible aperture for iOS.
Oh, I've heard rumors about this.
Yeah. So I would be interested to see what comes of it, and what the price point is on it. You know, I mean, aperture for iOS sounds really fun and exciting, but I mean, I actually went back this past week to give iPhoto another try on the iPhone, and it's just not usable to a great point. It's not really usable on the iPhone. It's much more usable on the iPad, but it doesn't have a great usability on the iPhone. So I'm wondering, you know, you've got to have a very simplistic UI, similar to, obviously, I'm going to say Snapseed, that can make it something that's, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I hear you. But what could you do with Aperture that you can't do with iPhoto? Like, what kind of editing would be involved?
I don't know. It's very interesting to speculate. But I mean, if Aperture for iOS is a rumor that could come forward, does that mean we're going to have lower level access to our files? You know, are we gonna get raw file access?
Oh, that'd be interesting. I would love to see that. But then it kind of makes you wonder what the new device is going to be.
Right. Anyway.
You can dream.
In news that would make the artist formerly known as Prince proud, Facebook has renamed their camera app. And they have renamed their camera app to Camera Asterisk.
Is it asterisk? Because
no,
it's like a bullet point.
I thought it's just a dot. Yeah, bullet point.
Oh, see, I thought it was a little star.
I think that's how people are. Well, little nerdy point here. It's actually a dot, but they're doing asterisk because sometimes the bullet points don't show up well in HTML.
So, this is apparently in response to potential confusion between the native camera app and the Facebook camera app.
For the colorblind community, that might actually be an issue.
So, I don't know. That's a thing.
Yeah. I'm surprised they invested any time in this with the upcoming, you know, integration of Facebook into the new iOS.
Well, it's funny you say that, and I don't want to get too involved in this because it's a photography podcast, but as far as I can tell, Facebook's integration into iOS isn't going to be any more impressive than what Twitter's integration was in iOS 5. It's just going to be like, you know, if you do this, you could tweet it. You know, like if you take a picture with the phone, you could upload it. Facebook will be one of the sharing features, just like it is with Camera Awesome or Instagram or anything else.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not going to be like a Facebook, a built-in Facebook app, as near as I can tell anyway. That's just not going to happen. Not from what I've seen with the beta. So basically you're looking at things like, if you get a text message, maybe, you know, it's something that you could have tweeted, or maybe you can upload it to Facebook, or you can maybe there'll be sharing features within Safari to Facebook or something like that. But it's not going to be like your Facebook app.
From what I've seen through the keynote demonstration, that's pretty much the size of it. It looks no different than Twitter.
Right. All right. And finally, our last bit of news. I'd like to finish with some sad and tragic news. In an example of a good person falling victim to insurmountable social pressures, in what may have been a glorious battle of defiance ending in defeat, our very own Mark Sadowski posted a picture of his feet on Instagram last week.
I was wondering where you're going with this.
I'll tell you what, I nearly hit the floor when I saw that. Are you effing kidding me? So go ahead and try and explain your way out of this, Mr. Sadowski.
Oh, no explanation. It's the only difference is my feet were up, not down.
Yeah, that's like Trey Ratcliffe trying to explain his way into buying a D800 after he promised he would never, ever buy a DSLR again.
It was, I was chatting with my brother about his upcoming wedding, and he had us all buy Converse sneakers, and the Chuck Taylors, and the Maude Byrne from the focus group said Mark went all hipsta, and that's pretty much it. I had my own pair of Converse on that I just bought like a few days ago, and I'm on the train sitting there staring at him. I'm like, you know what, I've gone full dark side. I started with an iPhone, I then bought a Mac, I'm wearing a pair of Chucks, you know, my turn to the dark side is complete, and I just did it to I did it to piss off a few Android users that listen to this show. One in particular is Mike Siska, who's a great friend of the show. And I thought I would get a kick out of people. I didn't think it would turn into such a storm.
Tragedy.
It looks like you have your skinny jeans on, too.
I do not have skinny jeans. For the love of God, I would not do that to the world.
How did you manage to take a picture with the phone and a Starbucks in the other hand?
I haven't gone Starbucks yet. That's one thing that he pointed out. So I'm not totally hipster. So I'm going to have to try a Starbucks coffee next week. Kind of afraid to. I don't really drink coffee.
All right. Well, on that note, I'm sorry, but we're going to have to kick you off the show.
No! You can't do Mark, that.
Your time just freed up a lot.
We just heard that Lenswipe's getting canceled, and now you're booting off the show. So.
It's going on hiatus. It's not getting canceled.
All right. Let's move on to our feature for the week, Mark.
Okay. And this week's feature is brought to you by Stitcher. Listen to all your favorite radio shows and podcasts, like the Tiny Shutter, on your iOS device. No more need to store countless gigs of space of music and sound. Stream them all with Stitcher. Go to stitcher.com/tinyshutter and download it today.
Sweet. For today, our focus points are going to be more Kickstarter projects and a little about iPhone photography accessory market in general. Last week, I posted a link for you guys, and I'm sure you have it available right now. It was a link for a product that a woman had come up with after she was trying to find a solution to taking product photography with her iPhone. She was getting specular highlights. She was having issues with, you know, all the kinds of lighting issues that you would come across. So basically, this is a product. It was a solution that this lady, a former jewelry salesman or designer, she needed a way to come up with some good lighting for product photography. In the story that I read about her, she ends up inverting a Tupperware bowl, getting a hole in it, blasting some light at it, and taking a picture of it. And she's got this miracle product, and now she's got a Kickstarter going to try and raise the funds to produce this product so that folks can buy her manufactured Tupperware light modification.
Now there are products very similar to this. So what
Gary Fong?
Doing, Gary Fong is the big one, and I am a user of his products. Actually, they work very well at weddings. But this is no different than those light tents that are out there. If I'm not mistaken, is there anything different?
Well, I mean, other than the fact that she's kind of jury-rigged a way to hold your phone down on top of a bowl. You know what I mean? I mean, ultimately for me, this comes down to, I mean, and I'm a big DIY guy anyway. So for me, the first thing I sit here and think of, and you know, and I apologize to her, and it's not like she's come up with a bad idea, but I just, my knee jerk reaction is always, I can make that myself. You know?
You know what? It's funny you mention that because I just bought a Tupperware container just to see if I could do it myself.
Did you?
I did.
That's awesome. I'll look forward to the review on the Tiny Shutter.
I bought Tupperware containers, and I was at BJ's Whole Food store. It's like one of those chains where you could buy, like, you know, a gross of bread for like a dollar. Mm-hmm. And I bought this container. Like for $10, I bought like, I think it's 10 LED lights that I don't know what I'm going to do with yet. Nice. But I do want to do some crazy photography with the iPhone.
Nice. This would be a good, you know, we have a friend of the show, Joseph Ferreira, who does a lot of product photography with his 3GS.
Yes.
I'd be interested.
Phenomenal.
Yeah. And he doesn't use Tupperware. So I would be interested.
He doesn't need it.
I would be interested in hearing his point of view on this. But I wanted to use this to kind of lead into our discussion about the iPhone photography accessory market as a whole. Mark, I know you have a link that you wanted to talk about.
The one in particular that I wanted to chat about is something similar to what this girl is doing. And it's a much simplified thing called the Scanbox. It's on Kickstarter right now. I believe it has it still has plenty of time left. But all it is this cardboard laminated device that you're able to use your iPhone as a scanner. You could scan documents, 3D objects, like in the photo that they provide is a teddy bear. But it's basically a light box that's portable for you to carry anywhere. And
what's interesting about this particular Kickstarter project is, you know, first of all, this is not a Tupperware piece of Tupperware bowl that somebody has jury-rigged. This is a designed cardboard thing that's, you know.
And let me interrupt you for 1 minute. It's 24 days to go as of the recording of this show. It has a goal of $12,500. Guess how much they're up to right now?
$116,010.
Asshole.
Well, that's because you interrupted me on my way to saying that.
Yeah.
is the interesting thing about this is that it's a designed kind of thing, whereas this other thing is this jury-rigged Tupperware thing. And while this guy has gotten his goal of $12,500, has gotten almost 4,000 backers, and he's multiplied his goal tenfold, the Nimbus Cloud, which is this thing that this lady is trying to fund, has only 9 days left to go. Her goal is 15 grand, and she's only mustered up just short of 4 grand. So there's a couple. There's obviously a couple variables here. Her price point is significantly higher than his. Her price point, I believe, is coming in at $80. Is that wrong?
Yeah. No, that's what it is.
Yeah, retail price of $79. So basically what you're telling people is that you've connected some rubber bands to the bottom of a Tupperware bowl and you want them to pay $80 for it. This guy is telling you that his scan box is going to be $10, I think?
Or
$14? $10, and it's a design. It's something that's totally unique. It isn't a cardboard box with a hole in it. It's something that he has designed to be unique, and so it's interesting where, I mean, this guy has well exceeded his goal. He's got 4,000 people who want his product, and he's going to be able to produce it, and he's going to make at least $104,000.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
go on.
In defense of the Nimbus thing, it does come with a pretty sweet salad spinner.
That's why we have you on the show, Matt.
That's where she lost it.
Yes. I don't know if you have one, Matt, but I'm going to move on to my next one. My next one is called the Hi-Low Lens. The Hi-Low Lens, and links for these, by the way, will be on the show notes. The Hi-Low Lens is basically a tiny periscope for your phone. And what its claim to fame is providing you with alternate angles apparently you would not be able to get if you just had your iPhone. High angles, low angles, any surface becomes a tripod, blah, blah, blah. My first reaction to this thing, and if I don't know if you guys have seen the link that I've shown, that I set up, is why. I don't have any problem. Like, this thing is saying it's going to give you low angles. I don't have any problem. I mean, it's not like my lens can't get close enough on my iPhone, can't get close enough to the ground. It's not like I can't operate my iPhone in such a way in any angle I want. I can hold it over my head just the same way as this thing is and still be able to see my 3-inch LCD. What do you guys think?
It's dumb. I totally hear what you're saying. I have no problem holding it at a low angle or a high angle. I do it all the time.
I'll defend it. I could see maybe people that maybe aren't physically able to get down low or something. It's just a way for them to be able to see the screen, and they could have the lens parallel to the ground, but you know, down really low, but they are looking straight down at the camera instead of straight down at the screen instead of trying to having to look at it at an angle.
I see what you're saying. It's hard to say what product works well, what product doesn't. I mean, with the ScanBox, it's such a simple device that why not? I mean, with such little amount of money, you can get so much.
Right.
I came across one that's a little bit different. I haven't seen anything like this before. There's a product called the Swivel. And basically, it's something... It's like a personal camera, man, is basically what it is. It's a device that you put your iPhone in, and a little cord plugs into the phone, and then you would wear this little transmitter on your body, and you could stand in front of the iPhone, and you could walk around or whatever, and the phone will follow your movement. So... the video for this thing is kind of silly because it just shows people setting it up and then going off in front of the camera, like doing self portrait or self video kind of stuff. And I thought, well, that's just kind of dumb. I don't really see the point in that because you could only go so far.
Like, yeah.
And then you'd have to walk in a circle, basically. But I'm sure that you could find other creative things to do with this, but you're just kind of limited as to how far, like a way you can go.
That's not even a creative design. That's technology that exists right now for regular video.
Well, it is kind of like 1980s robotics, but
I can see it. I mean, I can see a use for this. I mean, just kind of a plain Jane kind of use for it. Let's imagine that I'm doing like web help videos. I'm a solo guy doing web help videos. I stick this thing on my tripod, and I can sit there and talk as I walk around and describe something as it kind of follows me. I mean, so it's probably cheaper than hiring a cameraman. So, I mean, I guess I can see that it has a particular use.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I don't see the price point here for it, but, I mean, I don't know how much I would spend for a product like this rather than just cutting in and out of me moving the tripod to the new location.
Yeah.
So in general, as far as iPhone accessories go, I want to wind this kind of spot down, but I would like to get your opinions on kind of in general the marketplace as a whole. It's fun to see some of the kind of sillier things that come along, and it's also exciting to see some of the great things that you want to just jump on and grab.
Right, one of which that started as a Kickstarter project, it's the Oloclip. And we have our review copy. This is the lens that is very solid, very cool. Can't wait until we review this. It's going to be really cool. And we're going to have the creator of it on our show as well.
And then we are, if I'm not mistaken, we're giving one away, right, Mark?
Yes, we are.
So make sure you don't miss that episode, folks. So, moving on, what I want to do is actually, if you guys have any products that you would like to have us talk about / review, make sure you comment on this post or head over to facebook.com/tinyshutter, like us and talk to us there. Also, speaking about facebook.com/tinyshutter, I believe, and I'm not going to go back and remember, but I believe this Friday is the finale or the last chance you have to get into the drawing for the shutter grip. And now that I'm thinking about it, since we don't record until Tuesday nights, I'm going to move that to the 18th. So it's official. I will make it official on the Facebook page. I'm making it official now. Right up until the midnight on the 18th, we'll take them, and then I will get them all organized for a drawing on our live show on next Tuesday, the 19th.
That's really cool.
For the iPhone shutter grip that we'll be giving away next week. Two ways to enter: go and like us on Facebook, or head over and send us a postagram via postagramapp.com. And if you haven't done it yet, you can head over to tinyshutter.com, and there'll be a link for you to get a promo code for Postagram and get 5 free postagrams to send over to us. I did get some more postagrams this past week. I don't have them in my hand. I will mention our fans of the show who have sent us postagrams. I'll mention them next week during the drawing, actually. And let's move into focus points, guys, and wind this show down. What do you say, Matt? You want to start off?
Yeah, sure. This week I've been playing with an app called HDR Photo Camera. What this app does, it's a little bit different than some of the other HDR apps out there, is this one actually takes three different exposures, kind of like you would do if you were shooting with your regular camera, I guess. So I just thought that sounded pretty different. I wanted to check it out and see what sort of results that gave me. And basically, with this app, the results are kind of weird. They're very low contrast. They have a photomatics kind of look to them. The only thing that I don't like about this app really is that the processing time is ridiculously slow. So if you take your three shots, you could basically set your phone down and go make a sandwich and come back, and it might be ready. And that's about it for that.
So two questions. Your finished results, happy?
No, not really.
So this is a negative review from Matt.
This is a first.
I'm not real sure if I recommend it. It's just a different look. It's not pro HDR. It's a totally different look. I think maybe I need to get used to it. One good thing for me is I got this app when it was free, but right now it's $2.99 in the app store.
Yeah, it doesn't sound worth $2.99.
I'm going to say no.
Not based on your review anyway.
My pick of the week actually is for the iPad. It's a little photo editor called Corel Paint It.
Neat.
And it's neat. It's free also, so it's good. It basically takes your photos and converts it into a painting. And you have the choice between oil paintings, impressionist, modern, pen and ink, an illustration, and just random if you want something random. And I wish I could say more about it. It just basically takes it and renders it for you, and then you get to share it.
FYI for the listeners and focus group, and I'll put a link in the show notes, it's also available for the iPhone.
Is it available for the iPhone? Oh, that's cool.
Yep. It's a separate app. It's not like it's a universal app. There's one listed.
Oh, I see.
One listed for the iPhone, one listed for the iPad. I'll put both of them in the show notes.
Cool. But it's a fun app.
So, you know, all right. Originally, I was going, for my focus point, I was going to tell everybody about my woes of backing up my iPhone before I added the iOS 6 beta. It's that simple. Just make sure, even though you thought you backed it up, make sure you backed it up, because I lost about 30 days worth of pictures today when I downloaded, or when I updated. I restored, ditched everything, and my update came in and backed up, and my backup was old. Anyway, but what I'm going to do instead, since you guys did apps, I'm going to do an app, and what it is the Native Camera Apps HDR, and a neat little feature that I came across, one of the pictures that I actually lost, but it's on Instagram already, so that's cool. And what it is I used the HDR feature and took a picture of a flag that was extremely fastly. It was extremely
so
quick.
You had the ghosting.
Yes. It was blowing in the wind, and I get the ghosting effect, and it came out really, really neat. And so I was going to mention that, and just say that it's just a neat way to use a tool in a different feature. It would have to be, I would imagine it would have to be something that is moving rather quickly, similar to the flag was moving extremely quickly.
Guys, hold on. Breaking news. 645 Pro has an update.
Uh-oh.
We're now on version 1.11.2.
Man, he's like an updating machine.
It's just a couple little things. Just some improved video preview performance. Greatly enhanced power management. That's good because this app is a battery hog. Faster file saving, which is also a pretty sweet thing. And then the last update included the autofocus assist, where basically your LED turns on to help the lens focus in low light. So this only comes on now in high ISO situations. And then the last thing is something called persistent film back bypass fixed. I have no idea what that means, but there is a new update. It came out today.
Excellent.
So
it's like he's like in sync with Tiny Shutter. Every week we have an episode, he pushes an update, so it's perfect. Mark, why don't you let the listeners of the Tiny Shutter podcast know where they can find you?
They can find me and all of my various connections on my new site, casualphotography.net.
Matt?
You can check me out at Instagram, mhoffmanphoto.
You can find me over at Instagram, Keith_Tharp. Remember to head over to tinyshutter.com for links and information to today's show. Everything we talked about will have a link or a description there. Also, don't forget, again, Instagram, #tinyshutter, facebook.com/tinyshutter. I also want to send a quick thank you out to the focus group for hanging in there with us tonight. Make sure, if you haven't been there yet, you can head over to tinyshutter.com/thefocusgroup, all one word. We go live every Tuesday, currently going live after the lens wipe at around 9:30-ish. So if you are a fan of facebook.com/tinyshutter, you will get a notice prior to the show going live as to where and when it'll go live. But it's always going to be at tinyshutter.com/thefocusgroup. Head over to one of those places and get involved, and we will see you again next week on the Tiny Shutter Podcast, the iPhone Photography Podcast. Thanks, boys. See you later.
Bye-bye.
Take care, everybody. That'll do, pig. That'll do.
All right, let's...
This just in. OMG Pop has announced an update to draw something.
It is actually really good for feline porn. Yeah, I don't know anything about that.
I don't know anything about it either.
If you haven't already listened to my flubbing up of the shit, you should listen, because I suck at saying shit.
You put on that lotion before you put on your sex panther.
Let's just start over. Nobody's following the focus group, and they're making fun of us.
Wait, who am I?
Hello.
The thing who stole my baby! Right, you dingoes!
Crikey!
You know what's really sad?
Monkeys?
Well, it depends, but usually they're happy.
And a specific eyepiece that sucks onto your screen.
Sucks, alright!
Do not edit that.
Oh, shit. I could not hold it in.
Different thought. Screw the first thought. Different thought.
See you, stupid.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, head over to iTunes and leave us a review and a 5-star rating. See you next week.